right, so last weekend in Talladega, we started a message series titled, This is the Way. It comes out of the Old Testament book of Isaiah, which is a prophetic book 700 years before the birth of Christ. And it says this in chapter 30, verse 21. This is not specific to road course racing, okay? It just worked out this way. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And we said this last week that there are two ways that God speaks, through the power of the Holy Spirit, but also through God's living word, that those two are not separate, but that those two work together. And today what I want to say to us is this. As I look around the room each week, myself or Billy, and I know he would say the same because we've talked a little bit about this, but as we stand up here and look amongst you or see you within the community, we see spiritual leaders in so many of you, right? We see the things that God is doing in your life, and we see godly leadership in you. We see what God is doing in our racing community. And here's what I want to say to you today. For every single person in this room, doesn't matter your job, doesn't matter your age or what you have before you today, for every single person in this room, your life has purpose, and God wants to do great things in your life and through your life. Your life has purpose, and God wants to do great things in your life and through your life. Here's what it says in Psalm 138, verse 8. The psalmist said, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. So in order to fulfill his purpose, there must be a purpose, right? And God has purpose for his people. It's not to just go through life without purpose. So God has a purpose for each one of you today. And I believe it's this, according to the scripture, our greatest purpose is to love God and love people, right? To love God and walk with him and help other people walk with him as well. When the religious leaders tried to trick Jesus one time, they were trying to catch him and ask him, they said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. But the second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so you could read that text right there as the Lord saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way to love me, God would say, and to love other people. This is the way, walk in it. Now, I want to share a passage with you today from Matthew chapter 15. I've shared it often, not this year, but I have shared this. I shared this in January with some MRO chaplains who are associate chaplains who are serving racetracks all around the country. And I shared this passage of scripture with them that comes out of Matthew 15. And starting in verse 32, it says this. This is when Jesus feeds the 4,000, okay? It says that Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Now I read that and I think, yeah, no, I mean, that's a long time to go without food. And whenever I'm studying and preparing to share messages with you guys, I always just kind of write questions that I feel like the Lord would ask me or that's stirring in my heart as I study. And this is the question I wrote down just in my own quiet time. Would I be willing to sit for 3 days with the Lord without food? Right now, we're not going to talk about fasting, but man, you think about in our culture and our environment, like I'm just impatient. I don't want to miss one meal, right? Much less 3 days. And these people are sitting there for 3 days listening to Jesus because he's continuing to teach him. That's how much they wanted to hear what he had to say, right? And then it goes on to say in verse 33, and the disciples said to him, watch this, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed such a great crowd? And Jesus said to them, here's the question, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. Watch this. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. Now, the New Living Translation says it this way, that Jesus asked them this question, how much bread do you have? He asked the disciples. Right now, imagine being there with 7 loaves and a few fish, looking at 4,000 plus, really 4,000 plus, people, probably be a little bit intimidating, right? And so my question is this, How much bread did Jesus need? Think about this with me. How much bread did Jesus need in order for him to do his miracle? Like, did he have to have that 7? Or could he not have done it if they only had 4? Or what if they had half of what he needed, right? And I want to share this thought with you today. And this is kind of what we're talking about. It wasn't any certain amount that Jesus needed in order to do his miracle. What he was looking for was their willingness to trust him with what they had, right? Jesus was looking for the disciples to just surrender to him what they had. And I think the same is true for us. Now, I get it. I know I've done this. I've been frustrated. I let this person have it that one time. I got angry. I sinned this time. I messed, you know, this up. But here's what I want us to know. It's not our miracle, right? It's not our miracle. It's the Lord's miracle. And so for you and I today, we've got a miracle, right? The miracle is this, that God made a way for sinners to be reconciled into peace and into a relationship with God. That's the bread that we have as followers of Christ. Now, here's what that looks like, okay? Sometimes that's sharing the gospel verbally. Now, I know that can be uncomfortable at times, right? But sharing the gospel, right, is not a spiritual gift. It's not a spiritual gift, not a recommendation. The Lord said, go and make disciples, right? Teaching them obedience to his word. Listen, sometimes it's being a listening ear to a brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes it's a visit to a hospital, right? Sometimes it's asking somebody, how can I pray for you? And here's what I want you to be encouraged by. You're all already doing those things. You're doing those things as a community now. And so I want to just encourage you to keep on doing those things. Keep on being the light in this world, right? Keep on loving God and loving the people around you. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I know sometimes, man, I've been there too, we just feel like, I'm just, you know, about ready to give up, right? Let us not grow weary in doing good. Just a few minutes ago, literally, I had a wedding for somebody who works in the Xfinity series up in the suite. And Billy had a wedding last night, so we've been busy this weekend. And I don't know what verses he shared, but I shared this verse with them today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, keep in mind, let me give you some context to this passage. This was not written for a wedding ceremony, okay? This was written to a church in Corinth, a group of people, right, who were living in a place that, let's just say, they were sideways spiritually, right? They were far away from God. And this is what it says. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Let me show you what that means. If you took every single thing that you have, everything, and you gave it away to the poor, but didn't love other people, the scripture says, we missed it. We haven't gained anything. And then it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith and is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Now, I'm a practical thinker most of the time, and I read that and I go, wait a minute. Many times I've been impatient and unkind and boastful. I've been proud, rude. I've demanded my own way. Anybody ever keep a record of wrongs? Right? I look at that and go, whoa, but man, we've all been all of those. Well, the word here for love is agape. So in the English language, we only have one word for the word love. It's love. But here it's talking about the way that God has loved us. It's an unconditional love that's not based on a response or behavior or what we would do. That's what it means, that God has loved us that way. And so for us, we got to know that this type of love that we have for our neighbor, like this is the way to model that. We're not always going to feel like loving our neighbor, right? We're not always going to have that emotion. That's why we live by what is true, not by what we feel, right? That's what God's word is teaching us. So we choose We choose these things based on the way that God has loved us. And so here's what I want to leave you with for application piece today. And it's this: give the Lord whatever you have, right? Just give the Lord whatever you have. In your workspace, if you're working today, pitting or driving or calling a race, watching the race as a fan, whenever you go home and your relationships with your families as you lead them, whatever it is that you have, I just want you to know the Lord wants us to trust Him with what it is. It says in Psalm 116, verse 12, "What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me?" And the answer is nothing. I mean, what can I offer the Lord for what He's done for me? Nothing. That's what it feels like to have 7 loaves and a few fish, right? I don't have enough. Like, there's nothing I can bring to give God for what He's done for me. So we give Him what? We just give Him what we have. It's a willingness to trust Him with what we have, right? Maybe that looks like inviting somebody to chapel, inviting somebody to church with you in the off season, your Bible study, whatever it may be. You never know the difference it's going to make in somebody's lives. And so we read that and we can see that as this is the way, walk in it. God's giving us instruction to love Him and walk with Him and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I'll share a story with you. Tuesday night, I went to a men's event, and it was really incredible. I got to see Richard Payne, who's one of my heroes of the faith, just such a special guy. And Richard used to lead a Bible study that I was invited to by somebody who worked on a setup plate, right? No scholar, just a guy on a setup plate invited me to this Bible study. This was before I was a Christian, okay? He invited me to go. And I went up there, and they had free Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Now, if I'm going to be honest, that did have some influence, right, for why I said yes, I wanted to go. But the chicken sandwiches were provided by a guy named Gene Rhodes, okay? Gene owns 2 Chick-fil-A's in High Point, and his son used to race in the Xfinity Series, and I got to see him briefly Tuesday night at that event. And Gene would give these chicken sandwiches to Richard Payne to host at his Bible study so that he could draw people like me and other people in, right? Now, he didn't have just bread. He had bread and chicken. But, you know, whatever. It was amazing. And so we may not own a Chick-fil-A. You might. I don't know everybody's story. I don't, right? But Gene was giving what he had for the sake of what God was doing. And I'm telling you, for every single person in this room, not 95% of you, every single one of you, you have a purpose in your life, and God wants to do great things in your life and through your life. He wants us to walk with Him and help the people around us walk with Him. Maybe just asking somebody how you can pray for them. But here's a verse that the Lord laid on my heart this week as I thought about this, and we'll wrap with this. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send more workers into the field." Now, the ESV translation, or the NASB probably, would say, "Pray earnestly." That's something the Lord is teaching me, how to pray earnestly. But I want you to know that's one of the ways that I'm praying for this community. It is. It's one of the ways that I'm praying for us, for the Lord to send workers, because the harvest is great and the workers are few, right? And your life, listen to me, your life makes a difference to the people around you. It does. Your life has purpose. God wants to do great things in your life and through your life. And we're just blessed that we get to do it here and enjoy the fun things that we get to enjoy, like car racing, right? Because it's the best, in my opinion, sport in the world. So I want to pray for you guys that we'll just be wise and we'll see the places that God wants to work in us and through us. Lord, I thank You so much for Your people. God, I thank You that You are at work in this community. And Lord, I know for every single person here, God, You have a purpose for their lives, that You want to be at work in their lives and through them. And so God, help us to see the people around us, help us to walk with you, and help us, God, to lead others in their walk with you who are around us. God, would you bless your people today and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys so much. Hope y'all have an awesome day.